Hi, everyone. If we haven't met yet, my name's Greg. I am, as Pastor Leslie said, the pastor at the Westbury campus. If you're new to Shelter Rock, we have three locations. Manhasset, you're familiar with. Syosset, way out in the country. And then Westbury. So our Westbury campus is just about 9 months old now. So they let me out, so here I am getting to be part of our time together. Just a heads up, this is going to be a service, a message, where you're going to participate as well, okay? And you can do that in a couple ways. You can, I'll give you a chance towards the end to just kind of shout out a response, or you can call or text this number up here on the screen. Take out the little message notes there in the chair back in front of you, write this phone number down, and then write these two phrases down. The first says this: I need God's faithfulness in, and then you would fill in that blank. And then the second says, I've seen God's faithfulness in, and you would fill in the blank. We're in a series about God's names. So, surprise, today we're talking about the faithfulness of God. So I want to hear from you via text or out loud a little bit later. So as God brings something to mind in ways that you need God's faithfulness or ways you've seen his faithfulness, just shoot a text to that number. And give me the condensed version. The last service, I was like kind of scrolling through. It was a little bit long. So give me the condensed version. I'll read them all, not necessarily during this time, but I'll read them all and pray for them all, but I'd love to hear from you. Because God's story that we're going to go through today is our story. We're actually part of it. We go back and look at God's story in the Bible, but it's continuing to be lived out through us. So, with that in mind, take a look at this symbol. What does this symbol mean? What's it mean? Good job. It's good, right? All is well. I feel good. Nice. Yeah. Now, I want to re-sign that for us today. We're going to look more at this. But I'm just giving you a heads up. This now means God is faithful. God is faithful. Can I see thumbs up? God is faithful. Now, here's the thing. Again, you get to participate. You don't have to do this, but several times throughout the message, I'm going to say, God is faithful. And I invite you in that moment, just put it right up, just as a reminder. Yeah, God is faithful. But let's look at this hand gesture, because it has had a variety of modifications throughout history. If you take this and just tilt it slightly and you're outside, well, it means I need a ride, right? I need a ride. And, you know, everyone can need a ride from time to time. Even superheroes need rides from time to time, right? If you're involved in social media, you've certainly seen that symbol on Facebook, right? Hey, I like what this person said. I like this image. It's something we use all the time. Now, if you take that hitchhiking symbol and add another one, you get a cultural icon known as, hey, the Fonz. All right. Now, if you have no idea who this person is, you're likely under 30 years old, go to MeTV. All right, they play episodes every day. My DVR is set. I'm watching Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days, Hogan's Heroes, all the time. But let's continue with some of this gesture. During World War II, pilots on U.S. aircraft carriers would adopted the thumbs up to communicate to the folks on the deck that they were ready to go. They could remove the wheel chocks. In the Middle Ages, archers would use the thumbs up to signal that they were ready for battle. Their bow is strong, the arrows are ready. Let's do this. Let's go further back. Ancient Rome. This same hand gesture was used by ancient Roman crowds to communicate to the victorious gladiator, do we let him live or the opposite? All kinds of gestures. In modern day, Pandora, if you're familiar with this music service. If not, it's really cool. You can get the app or you can see it online. But they use thumbs up and thumbs down to allow you and me to build your own music station that plays just songs that you like. Because what they've done is they've had this program called the Music Genome Project, where they've gone through literally thousands upon thousands of songs and collected data from them on instrumentation, you know, vocals, tempo, all of this. And so when I click, hey, I like this song, their computer's saying, whoa, go find more songs that has this kind of data. When I say, I don't like this song, find songs that have this data but not that data, and it filters until, you know, they want you to have this musical wonderland where every song is just, you know, thumbs up. So that's good. It's a great tool, and, you know, we communicate with one another. Hey, how you doing? And that's, you know, that's good. It's healthy. It's a way to communicate. And our approval or disapproval has merit, right? We just want to share how we're feeling. However, if I give a thumbs up to a song or a thumbs down to another song, it has very little impact on my life or yours. But there can be other consequences in how I interact with people I like or don't like, or situations I like or don't like. It's very easy for me to say thumbs down to pain, right? Thumbs down to fear, thumbs down to depression, thumbs down to risk, thumbs down to humiliation. The truth is, I've learned a lot from episodes where each of those played a significant role in my life. I didn't choose to be humbled. I didn't choose to face fear. I didn't choose to deal with depression. But what I discovered is God is faithful. God is faithful. He used each of those episodes in my life to teach me, to lead me, and to help me know how he wanted me to grow, who he wanted me to be, and more importantly, who he is. Because God is faithful. Let's look at key verse today that we're going to focus on. It's Deuteronomy chapter 7. And this is Moses speaking here. He says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." Now, I'm going to read that again, but I'm going to give you another image, another backdrop for these words. Go ahead, Tony, go to that next slide and just hear this verse again. "Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." Now, there's a key word in there, covenant, right? Covenant of love. You know, what is that? It's easy to say, oh, it's an agreement, right? It's a document, it's like a contract, and that is true. That is true. In fact, in the medieval ages, folks would seal their business transactions, their covenants, with thumbs up. They would say, "You can count on me to be faithful. I will follow through." But what's significant about this describing God is God is faithful. You and I, not so much. Or let me just put it on myself. Me, not so much. I'm sure you're much more faithful. But you may have a tendency or be prone towards unfaithfulness in little or big things. Pastor Tim Keller, who's a pastor in a Redeemer Presbyterian Church here in the city, he describes or defines covenant this way. A covenant is a relationship, but it's a relationship more loving and intimate than merely a legal relationship. Yet it's more binding and enduring and accountable than a merely personal relationship. The covenant is a stunning blend of law and love. It's stunning because it's a personal relationship made more loving and intimate. And it's powerful because the covenant keeper is God Himself. God Himself. That we, despite our faithfulness or lack of faithfulness, will not be rejected or forgotten by God. Because even when we turn our back, if we turn around, God is there. He is there because God is faithful. All right, I see a bunch of text coming in. Let's see what you have to say here. Remember to get milk. Okay, yes, that's my wife. I need God's faithfulness in worship. I've seen God's faithfulness in prayer. Awesome. I need God's faithfulness to provide me a job. I've been unemployed 27 months. God has been faithful in my employment before. God, I just want to pause right now and pray for this man, this woman, who's seeking employment. I pray that this would be the day that an email comes in, a conversation is had, a phone call, whatever, that provides a job. I thank you for this person's faithfulness and patience and endurance. And ultimately, God, we thank you for how you have provided thus far. Amen. Oh, someone's calling. Can't call. Let's see here. I need God's direction. I've seen God's faithfulness in my finances. Amen. So keep them coming. Meanwhile, let me share some examples of God's faithfulness through Scripture. And I'm going to kind of tell these stories as the Bible unpacks them. But I want you to realize that there are stories, meaning we are there. I mean, thousands of years separate us from the actual incident, but the Bible is a living word. And so as I'm sharing these, I want you to be there. So let's go to the garden. All right, let's go back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 3. The words won't be on the screen, but let me just unpack them for you. This is where many, I'm sure, are familiar with the story of Adam and Eve. God creates Adam and Eve and puts them in the Garden of Eden. And it's filled with amazing trees and fruit and, you know, produce. There's just everything that they would need is there. This is God says, here's the playground called Earth. Enjoy. It's all for you. Everything you see, enjoy. Except, see that one tree there in the middle? I don't want you to eat from that tree. But everything else, it's yours. Well, as you and I have a tendency to do in our lives, we're lured by what we can't have. And Adam and Eve participated. They ate fruit, and there were consequences. In fact, God speaks to the serpent, Satan, right after that. And he says, Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So God is saying, look, there are consequences for our actions, but it's not the end of a relationship. I'm not going anywhere. I will be with you. In fact, serpent, Satan, you will have a run throughout the history of the world where you will strike back. And it'll be like an attack on the heel. But I will raise up a Savior who will ultimately crush your head. He will crush your head. So there are consequences, but it's not the end of the relationship. So let me ask you, in your garden experience where you're facing temptation, experiencing temptation, have you ever said something? Have you ever done something where you thought, oh, there's no going back. I've gone too far. There's no hope for this relationship to be restored. There's no hope for advancement in this company. There's no hope I'll ever earn back my teacher's, you know, respect. Have you been there? Are you there? Well, despite your bad choices, my bad choices, God is faithful. Yes, there will be consequences. There are natural consequences to our choices, but that doesn't change the character of God. So don't ever think you've gone too far. Don't ever think there's no coming back. Because God is faithful. Let's go on a boat. Let me tell you the story of Noah. And this is back from Genesis chapter 6. And is a period where there's judgment coming. Right? Humanity, again, has failed God. And God said, I'm going to take you, Noah, and your family, and we're going to take animals and put them on this ark, and everything is going to be destroyed. But you will establish kind of a new earth. So I just want you to imagine, as the waters are rising, imagine what you're thinking if you're there, like, oh my goodness, it's happening just like God said. So as those waters are rising, as it appears the mountains are lowering, as everything is wiped out, as you look across this mass of water and see nothing but water, no life, I want you to imagine the silence. Yeah, there may be some tears from family members. There may be noises from the animals. But as you look out and about, searching for life, there's silence. I want you to imagine the fear, the unknown. Like, what is going to happen? What does this look like? What is next? And then let me ask you, is there chaos in your life right now? Is there fear? Do you feel overwhelmed right now? Are you wondering how you're going to make it through that situation? Are you living in pain? Are you feeling isolated? God knows. In fact, look, in this moment, Genesis 8 says, God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now, we don't know the timing when God will respond in your situation. Noah was on the ark over a year. Think about that. That's crazy. Over a year. After two or three days, like, I'm ready to go. Like, all right, God, you know, I was faithful. You did what you said. Let's clean this up. You know, let's take me home. A month, 2 months, 6 months. There's got to be doubt stirring in there, don't you think? Well, what about your situation? An hour, a day, a week, 10 years. Some of you have been praying for something, crying out for something. In the midst of that, God remembers. God remembers you, your situation, and he isn't going anywhere because God is faithful. That is his character. That's who he is. Let's visit a family. Let me tell you about Abraham and Sarah and the birth of their son, Isaac. This is amazing because Abraham and Sarah were promised that a nation would be birthed from them. Now, this is exciting on two levels. First of all, that God is speaking to them and saying, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use your family to ultimately change the world. But it's also exciting on another level because Abraham and Sarah had been praying and longing for a child, one that they had not yet had. And here, God delivers. He promises them. That's amazing. However, the timing for God's timing was very different. As they waited for God to follow through on what he promised, they began to wonder, maybe we misheard God. Maybe we misunderstood. Maybe what God intended was for us to kind of do our part. I have an idea. You ever try to do God's job for him? Anybody ever guilty of that? Where you feel like God's leading you in a certain way, but it's just not playing out the way you envision. And so you kind of help God along a little bit. All right? Let me do this. I'm just going to cut a corner here. I'm just going to, you know, gossip a little there. I'm just kind of trying to speed things up to help you, God. I don't know, if maybe I'm the only one that has a tendency to do that. Well, they had that same tendency, and Sarah, in fact, allows her husband to sleep with her servant, thinking maybe this is how God's going to provide. And guess what? This was not the child that God had promised. So more time goes by, and then Abraham and Sarah are visited by an angel. And the angel says, this time, next year, Sarah will have a child. Now, Sarah wasn't in that conversation, but she overheard the conversation. Does anybody know how she responded? She laughed. And it wasn't a, whoo-hoo-hoo, I'm so excited kind of laugh. It was more a, yeah, right, mocking kind of laugh. Been there, done that. Yeah, I've heard that before. Oh, yeah, you're going to provide next year. Right. Well, Genesis 21 tells us, the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. They named this child Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. So Sarah went from a mocking laugh a year prior to a laughter of delight. God is faithful. Are you waiting for something, for someone? God hasn't forgotten about you. God's time. I don't understand God's timing. I don't. But that's why he is God, and I am not. But what I can tell you, what is proven over and over again in the story of God, the scriptures, and in the stories here in this room, is that God is faithful. Let me see what else you guys are saying. I've seen God's faithfulness in raising the dead. My friend flatlined for 6 minutes, and God brought him back. Amen. I need God's faithfulness in raising my children. Oh, you and me both. Lord, help us as parents. I need God's faithfulness in our future. I've seen God's faithfulness in the love that surrounds me and my family. I celebrate with you in the faithfulness you've seen. And Lord, we do pray for your faithfulness for their future. So what else? How do you need God's faithfulness? How have you seen God's faithfulness? Let me take you to a locker room. And we're gonna hear a speech. Anybody know who this person is? Kid President. Now, Kid President isn't in the Bible story, but I just needed an illustration of like a pep talk. If you don't know who Kid President is, just Google Kid President, and he's got probably hundreds at this point, YouTube videos. The kid's hilarious. He's encouraging. You'll enjoy him. But here's kind of a locker room, so to speak, conversation that God has with Moses. The Exodus 3, the Lord said to Moses, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. All right, so here's Moses just knowing Israelites have been enslaved for years upon years, and God knows. God has heard, God has seen, and God will provide. Incredible. Again, excitement, enthusiasm, until Moses finds out what God's plan is, and that's to use him. He says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Whereupon Moses said, "What? Huh? You're going to do what? With who?" In fact, he asks a variety of questions, Moses does. Who am I? How am I going to do this? Now, what do I tell them? What if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen? Right, on and on. And then I can just imagine God saying, "Okay, Moses, relax. Because get this." Chapter 4. The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." The ultimate pep talk. Vince Lombardi would have been proud. But Moses' response, 4 words. "Please send someone else." At least he said, "Please." All right, that's good. Guess what? God is using you. God wants to use you in your family, in your classroom, in your community, at your job. I know there are people here who wish they had another job, and I will pray with you if that's God's will. But I do know until that happens, you're at the right spot. God knows what he's doing and has you there to make a difference in someone's life. Maybe you or I need the courage that when God prompts us to, when he says, "Hey, go find out how you can pray for that person," or "go and sit with this person at lunch," or "go invite that person over out for coffee," or "go sit at that lunch table with this person." That's our chance to respond. God knows what he's doing because God is faithful. We need to be faithful to him. Anyone? I'm going to read another couple texts. Anyone want to shout out how you need faithfulness or how you've seen God's faithfulness? Job? Okay. God, we do pray for that right job. You are a faithful God. There's no doubt. But we pray for your provision. How you've seen God's faithfulness? How you need God's faithfulness? Trials? Heavenly Father, in the midst of what's going on right now, thank you for your faithfulness. Would you provide encouragement, reminder that whatever is in front of them, it's not something to roll over them. It's an opportunity for them to stand up on top of it and say, "God is faithful." College. I don't know if it's to get in or to get out, but we're praying. We're praying for that. This person just gave me a "God is faithful" symbol. So I love it. So let me close with this. Oh, one just came in under the wire. "I need God's faithfulness for my daughters to seek God diligently." Amen. God, I do pray for all of us as parents who we want our kids to have their own faith. Not mom and dad's faith, but their own faith. Draw them to you. "I've seen God's faithfulness, even in the smallest things. A cell phone missing for 2 days. I prayed and instantly found it." Amen. You ever do that? You ever go through something, it's chaotic, and someone says, "Well, have you prayed?" And you're like, "Oh, you know, fine." You know, it's like amen, and oh, there it is, yeah. Let me just close with this. God is faithful. And my little challenge and encouragement is that we don't forget. Write it down, "God is faithful." Walk around like this, "God is faithful." Shave it in the side of your dog, you know, "God is faithful." Whatever, to remind you who he is, what his character is. But the other side, he's calling us to faithfulness. God has plans for our lives. He's doing something. And he's saying, "Come, be a part of this. I want to use you. come be a part of this. May we be faithful. God, that is our prayer. Use us, a broken people who have been mended and restored through Christ. But still, we have tendencies to go our way. God, we want to go your way. When you say go left, we want to go left. And when you say stand up, we want to stand up. Find us faithful. And God, we celebrate your faithfulness, your character, who you are. We love you. Help us to understand your love for us and to share that love with others. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.